Protocols of the Meetings of the Learned Elders of Zion. Protocol Number 18, Arrest of Opponents. 1. When we need to give more power to our secret police, which are the best form of defense for those in authority, we will arrange for some fake disorders to take place. We will then arrange for a group of skilled speakers, who will cooperate in pretending to be angry citizens, crying out about this. People who are sympathetic to what is being said will then gather around these speakers. This will give us the pretext for demanding that a select group of Goyim police be able to put people's homes under surveillance. 2. Most conspirators act because they enjoy that type of activity and like to brag about it afterward. So until they do something big, we won't do anything to them, except to bring a few things to their attention. If a government frequently discovers that there are conspiracies against them, this gives them a bad image. It makes them look like they know they are weak or, worse yet, that they know they are unjust. As you are aware, we have damaged the image of the Goy kings by making frequent assassination attempts on them. We have done this through our agents, some of whom are people who blindly believe and act on what we tell them, providing that we phrase it in a freedom-seeking political manner. We have forced the rulers to acknowledge their weakness by showing everyone the many secret plots against them. In this way, we shall destroy their authority. 3. Our ruler will be secretly protected only by a minimal number of guards, because we don't want anyone to think that there could be any rebellion against him, which he wasn't strong enough to handle and needed to hide from. 4. If we allowed people to think this, as the Goyim have done and are doing, we would be effectively be signing an early death sentence, if not for our ruler, then for his dynasty. Government by fear. 5. Our ruler must appear to only use his power for the benefit of the nation, and never to build his own dynasty. In this way, his authority will be respected and guarded by the subjects themselves. It will be elevated to a glorified status, because it will be seen as tied up with the well-being of every citizen of the state, and because the common people depend on the order which this authority brings. 6. When a ruler is seen to surround himself with a large number of guards, this gives the appearance that he is weak and unable to organize his defense. 7. Our ruler will always be among the people, and will be surrounded by a mob of apparently curious men and women. They will occupy the front ranks about him, and this will all appear to be by chance. These people will restrain the ranks of the other people, and it will appear that they are doing this out of respect, and to maintain good order. This will set an example of restraint, and encourage the same behavior in others. If a petitioner appears from among the people and forces his way through the ranks in order to hand a petition to the ruler, the first ranks must receive the petition and, before the eyes of the petitioner, pass it to the ruler. In this way, everyone will know that what is handed in reaches its destination, and that consequently there is some control over the ruler himself. The aura of power requires that the people may be able to say, if the king knew of this, or, the king will hear it. 8. Once an official defense for authority has been established, its prestige disappears. Then, given certain degree of daring, everyone could promote himself as an authority. The promoter of rebellion becomes conscious of his strength. He then waits for an appropriate moment to make his attempt upon authority. We keep telling the Goyim that it is better to have a visible defense, even though we know it is best to do the opposite. but this enables us to see what this type of defense does to them. 9. Criminals within our ranks will be arrested at the first, more or less, well-grounded suspicion, even though, out of fear for our defense, we may make a mistake in wrongly accusing someone. We cannot allow that person, whom we suspect of a political crime, to escape. So in these matters we shall be literally merciless. It may still be possible, if we stretch the legal points, to reconsider a verdict on simple crimes, by examining the motives behind them, but there is no possibility of excuse for persons attempting to involve themselves in issues which can only be understood by the government. And not all governments understand true policy.